going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's T Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T today or visit mensteclinic.com. That's mensteclinic.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. Greg Wyshynski's Talking Stars with you coming up at 3:20. Of course, everybody wants to know the status of Miro, and we'll get word tomorrow, probably late afternoon. But tomorrow night's game at 8:30. Tonight, the Rangers pregame at 8:30 as they visit the Giants. Evaldi back on the hill. So we're going to go draft coverage until pregame starts? Is that how that's going to work tonight?
Yeah, we'll go draft coverage until pregame. Then draft will switch to the stream.
Yep.
We'll have the game here on 105.3 The Fan. And you can also check out, if you want to watch it, 105.3thefan.com/fancam for the draft.
What time do we think we're going to get the Cowboys second rounder in there?
I could check on that. Okay. I was able to get the first rounder, but I'll
leave that to Brian.
Yeah.
He's good at timing things out.
Well, maybe it was okay. Yes, because we have less time. Like you have more time for first round picks, less time for second round picks.
Oh yeah.
So let me get that for you, and I'll let you know.
Right on. Yeah, this will be flying, and it just sets up for a perfect night of sport. I mean, to jump in with the draft coverage at 6 o'clock to get Rangers pregame coming up at 8:30 with Nasty Nate on the hill should be a good evening. Rocker going on the IL with shoulder impingement. This is going to be, interesting with Rocker. I think this is going to be a year where you're looking at building him up and maybe having to be patient. Maybe you want to keep the innings down, get his pro schedule established. But, that just ties a ribbon around the disappointment of what has been Kamar Rocker pretty much since we showed up in Surprise, Arizona. Now he's hurt. And we'll have Sandler coming up at 4:40 if there's anything else we need to know about it. Our hope now turns with the youngsters to Jack Leiter. And then hopefully Gray and Bradford will be back before too long. But you guys see Wolcott hit a bomb for the Rough Riders again last night?
Wolcott Bombski.
Guy's amazing.
Hit special.
Yeah, I didn't see the Rangers till they lost until I got home like at 1 o'clock. It's kind of messing around with that. So, yeah, my night. But that's great that he's hitting home runs. So, I'm the guy. Like if they were not a good baseball team, I just could go ahead and bring him up. But they've got Jared Stolz. They've got other plans. They see themselves as a good baseball team, and they are.
Two homers, 10 ribbies, 10 walks, and 3 stolen bases in the last 11 games for him.
He's amazing.
The slash line's ridiculous.
I don't know how much longer you want to be patient. Sometimes guys are just ready to get the job done, and they're too good for the minors. This would be too early, but I'd give it another month, and we got to get him to AAA, and maybe by midsummer we're going to make this happen. But if you did miss last night's game, as Brian did, and a lot of people were paying attention, we got a Leody Taveras problem, some more bad defense. The untimely hitting, we're kind of getting used to that, and unfortunately, I think this is the second or third time this year where Taveras has made a horrible defensive play. I mean, you have DeGrom out there pretty much dealing. You hit 3 home runs. You get your best relievers out there, and you lose to a below-average baseball team. That's going to be one of those. But the error by Taveras allowing a run to score from second ties the game in the ninth, then the game winner. you know, a couple of batters later, you could have theoretically been out of the inning in the next batter. So Langford lost a ball in the sun at sunset earlier in the game that cost him runs. So the A's were up 2-0. It starts and finishes with your outfielders making costly plays. But, you know, DeGrom was pretty good. And he said he's felt like every one of his starts, he's made a step in the direction of, you know, getting better and stronger than what he has been. It's Apple TV tonight, guys. Mm. So navigate that one best you can. Eovaldi against Verlander, though. This is an old school goodie. Quite a pitching matchup. Yeah, of course, you got the Rangers pregame at 8:30 here on the Fan. So I know a lot of people just choose there to maybe stay up with it here on the radio. Hey, Elijah Arenas is out of that induced coma.
There you go.
Okay, so massive wreck. No broken bones, but had to go induced coma. Apparently he's all right. And the 18-year-old, who's one of the top 15 prospects in his class, you know, for the family now, the biggest concern is, you know, what the hell were you doing going so dang fast in the Cybertruck, son? Let's go ahead and, you know, bring this down. That's one of those young life events that maybe makes you a more responsible driver on the other side of it.
Man, you put me in a Cybertruck at whatever, 17 years old.
Yeah.
That could have gotten a little.
For a party.
That thing was going to be touching.
But it's got the auto driver functionality, son. You know, It's 3 a.m. I don't know what you're doing. You're an adult. Go have fun. If you're out partying, use the damn auto driver, please. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the number one selling feature to a parent, I think. If you can afford to get your kids a vehicle, a Tesla with the auto driver.
Yeah.
We got this young, stupid partying thing whipped now, I believe, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I think that could help.
I'm stupid here, but okay, you're hammered and you have to program. Do you just hit a button that says home?
Yeah.
And the thing, and you just can pass out and the thing will get you home?
Yep.
Will you wake up like in your driveway?
Just wake up at home.
Yeah.
So in your bed.
They got that thing pretty dialed. I mean, they have that Uber, it's not Uber, but it's like it, that like Waymo or whatever in certain cities where it's driverless Ubers. And I got buddies that have traveled and they get picked up. Nobody's in the car. You just sit in, pop in the destination, and then that thing gets you exactly. It's using the blinker. It's stopping when it's supposed to stop. It's getting over.
It's crazy.
I mean, it's pretty amazing.
I wonder if those things, do you think they go the wrong way? What happens if they make a mistake and they miss a turn?
I don't know.
I mean, how do you?
Maybe there's a way you can.
Well, you just pass by. Well,
correct.
There's nobody to. Yeah. How do they?
Yeah,
I guess is it just
hit
program?
The reroute.
Yeah, what if it glitches on you and you're like, and you go right by the airport?
I guess you'd have to have, like, the business would have to have some guy you can deploy, right? Like a mechanic in the area. We're gonna send out a response team here. Yeah. Maybe
it could be like cable TV. You know, when you do Spectrum, and they're like, okay, we're sending you the signal now. Make sure the blue thing's on.
But I think their collision rates are much lower than human, right? So if you're running into a mistake, I'm sure that's going to be a problem. That is weird, though, because computers do crash.
That's what I'm saying. You know? Yeah. Wait, whoa. You need to turn here. Turn. And there's nobody to say turn here. It just keeps going, and you might end up in Oklahoma City.
Just keep going. Brian Schottenheimer on Tyler Booker going from left guard to right guard. It's something we don't have any concerns about. At the end of the day, it's football. You go one way really fast, and if somebody gets in your way, you knock the bleep out of them.
Yeah, knock the bleep out of them.
I was lucky to be listening on the stream last night, so I got that, and it's full glory. Really impressed with Shotty's first day of media. Not a big issue to go left to right guard, like left to right tackle, is it?
Yeah, but didn't we, like, talk about this though with some guys? Isn't we've said that maybe
some guys can do this seamlessly. Others, it's a big different. I mean, Jack Hart talked about it, like learning to rewipe.
Yeah, well, it might be too, the other way. If you play in a left-handed stance and then have to play in a right-handed stance, the way your feet are, the way you get away from the line, maybe the way you fire off the ball, the way you step,
might take some getting used to.
Might take a little bit.
I could see that. Will McClay's player comp for Tyler Booker. Grades are very similar to what we had with Zach Martin in 2014. Some of the character traits, there are a lot of things that are very similar. He's his own individual, but he's a grown-ass man like Zach is. How do you like that comp to Zach Martin, Brian?
I'll tell you what, I never saw Zach Martin play over the tops of his feet. Does that make sense?
But I think Zach Martin was a far superior athlete than what Booker is.
Yeah,
Booker might be a little bit stronger. That's
313 to 321 kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Weight wise, there was such balance to the way that Zach Martin played. You couldn't pull him out of his stance. I'm not saying you could pull this guy, but I have seen, if you want to nitpick this guy a little bit, he will get a little overextended. Not a ton, but that's the one thing. He will do everything in his power to keep from getting overextended, but you can't run over this guy. You just can't. I mean, no. He's super strong. He's going to sit down on you, and that's it.
So it's the quickness, speed rusher kind of stuff. You get a blitzing linebacker crossing his face.
What if we play a game and they twist that thing in front of him? The adjust of getting over there and not leaning on that.
I did think it was interesting. Will McClay is like, we have very similar grade on Booker as we did on Martin.
Yeah.
Well,
they were picked right about the same spot.
Maybe not
12 and 16.
Maybe not a Hall of Famer, Brian, but do you see Pro Bowls? Do you see all pros in Booker's future?
I personally like Donovan Jackson better myself. Because of the athletic ability.
Donovan Jackson was a good athlete.
But I tell you, the thing about this guy is that the power, the ability for him to get movement in the running game. I mean, that I was thinking Jackson because I was thinking more of the pin and pulls and the outside zone stuff and things like that. It sounds like to me that they're going to be more inside zone stuff with the way that they're going to run the ball. They're going to try and combo block, double teams, get guys up on the second level. So I was thinking more of a Donovan Jackson who's kind of used to playing. I don't know if Booker could play left tackle. I saw Donovan Jackson play left tackle.
No, I think Booker is a guard.
Yeah.
Donovan Jackson proved that he could play guard or tackle.
Right.
I had in my notes, I do not want Tyler Booker playing tackle ever.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the feet for it.
Yeah.
Well, he might not be able to play tackle or pin and pull. But
he could play it in the space, the things in space. You could see them, like if you watch the Tennessee game and some other games, where you could see him pull in like Milrow. They do straight just a power run, and they put him out in front of Milrow, and they pull him, and they trap him, and they do, he's going to do, this is not a guy that, like, the grass is dying under his feet. He can move his feet. He's just, if you're expecting this tremendous athlete, that's not his game. Where he kills you is that his ability to get onto you, get a hold of you, and finish you. That's his game right there.
And he can, as you mentioned, play in space. And as Jerry may have joked or informed us last night, maybe the tush push is in play now, guys. Mm-hmm.
You got some power inside, man. You got some maulers in the middle now.
I personally wouldn't want to be pushing on Dak that much. I figure might get an injury here. Joe Milton is your tush push quarterback.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. It's time to tush. It's time to push. Let's get Joe Milton in there. Jerry Jones on taking another offensive lineman said, when you step back and look at it, we've had some pretty good teams around war daddy drafted offensive linemen. That's interesting, Brian. You would have gone with a different guy, though, if you had decided to go with offensive line. How many other guys would you have taken besides Booker there?
Oh, I like I said, I had quite a few. I mean, if you're talking about guards, I only had Jackson above him. That's the only other. I mean, if you look at, I had Booker at 37. I had Jackson like at 34. So it wasn't that far off of where I was. I personally like Josh Simmons, the Ohio State tackle. That was one of my favorite offensive linemen that I would take it. But, man, it sounded like to me that some of the things with the character and all these things, I mean, it was pretty – I'm like, whoa. Okay.
Chiefs got him right at the end.
Yeah, Chiefs got him at the very end.
Chiefs.
But, man, there were some things. There were some guys that say, well, this, and this. And you're kind of like going, oh, okay. Kind of see why he slid down the board a little bit. But, yeah, I listen, the Booker pick is just fine. I thought that they were going to do some things differently, more outside stuff with the scheme. It sounded like it's going to be more inside stuff. So we'll see.
Is that what they talked about last night?
You can just tell by the guy they drafted.
Yeah.
The guy they drafted is, if you were going to, pin and pull requires down blocks, pull, what it is. You pin guys and you pull guys to get outside. And so I don't know how many times you want to have this guy playing in space on the edge. There were some times where you were, like I was talking about him pulling in front of these backs at Alabama, Milrow, that they were kind of, backs were having to be a little patient, waiting for him, and then they would go. So, I mean, but when he latches on, he is very, very difficult to get away from.
Tremendous scouting report here from Brian Broaddus in the G-Bag Nation. 6'5", 324. How about some of these stats? Only 6 blown blocks on 740 blocking plays last season at Bama. block percentage of 0.8%, blown block percentage, second lowest in the SEC. He gave up only one sack in 970 pass-blocking snaps in three college seasons. That sounds pretty elite to me down there in that SEC.
Absolutely.
Brian.
Absolutely.
He's doing it against really good competition.
Really good competition.
And his ability to process and kind of the awareness of blitzers, of stunts, passing off, the combo blocks as you're talking about.
Yeah, learning curve with this guy is very, very, very small.
He's played a ton of snaps. It's the opposite of what you had last year with Guyton, where it was a potential and upside pick.
Yeah.
Do you think Brian's too low on him?
I had him at 21 on my stack. I was a little higher on him than Brian was. But I did have Donovan Jackson. But I had Donovan Jackson as a first-round player. He was 14, I think, overall for me. So, I just loved Donovan Jackson. I thought he was arguably the best lineman in the entire draft. But, yeah, Booker to me was a fine pick.
Do you think they were tipping off that we want a guy that loves football? The way that he came out, it looked like maybe he heard that quote and he was wanting to show everybody exactly how fired up he was to be there and be taken by the Cowboys. Brian?
Yeah, just to finish up, you asked me about the time.
Yeah.
They think that the Cowboys are going to pick sometime between 6:51 and 6:54 Central.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get right to it here this afternoon.
The thing that opens up, the draft physically starts at 6 o'clock Central. So about an hour into it.
All right. We got to start talking about what we want the Cowboys to do, what their most likely options are going to be when they get on the clock, presumably at 44, unless there's a trade. But coming up next, a huge game 4 in the Stanley Cup playoffs tomorrow. Greg Wyshynski is going to join you to talk Stars and Avs coming up next year. It's the G-Bag Nation, the fan.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. We're about to talk with Greg Wyshynski, Dallas Stars, Colorado Avalanche. Krusty's Corner's coming up in 20 minutes with Brian Broaddus, and he's going to tell you what he's hearing about what the Cowboys are going to do tonight with the 44th pick and the third rounder as well. Okay, so that conversation coming up. We got game 4 tomorrow night, and segment is also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Go to Car and Truck Wreck Attorneys in Dallas. It's the Frankels. And here he is, the senior NHL writer at ESPN, formerly the Puck Daddy, Greg Wyshynski here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Don't forget, and selector of the Dallas Stars to win the Stanley Cup this season.
That's right,
I'm
Greg,
on the bandwagon,
right.
Baby.
That is right. An author of books and a very credible hockey voice. And we love that you picked the Stars. Now, that being said, are you surprised they're up 2-1 with Miro not back yet and Robo joining him out?
Extremely. But also for the specific reason that we all assumed that Landeskog was coming back in this series, right? So let's say it's a split in Dallas. That's not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it was. To think that they walked into Denver without Heiskanen and without Robertson, and the Avalanche get the ultimate lift of getting their captain back for the first time since they lifted the cup a few years ago. The place is a madhouse. Everything's going their way. And then they lose in overtime. I'm actually in a postseason that has had some surprises. That is without question the most shocking development, is that the Colorado Avalanche lost the Gabe Landeskog game and are now down in the series.
When do you think the Miro Heiskanen return happens? He's been skating. He was out there again today. He's working with the power play unit. I kind of thought, Greg, if he's going to travel with the team to Colorado, that means they're thinking he's back for game 3 or 4. Do you think he goes tomorrow night, or do you think they just say, you know what, let's have the home return in game five?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that you have to kind of remember the emotional dynamics of the series. I mean, listen, they're guaranteed at least a split in Colorado. Coming back home for game five and getting Miro some extra time to rest up and then get him back in the lineup gives them their giant emotional apex for the series. So listen, it really comes down to, you know, the state of Heiskanen. I mean, if he's healthy enough to play, of course they're going to play him. If they can afford to buy him a little bit more time to get acclimated and get some more practice and stuff like that, I'm sure they'll take it. But the good news is that win in game three affords them this luxury right now.
Hey, Greg, I'm not going to sit here and act like I've watched every single playoff game that's gone in hockey. You know, I'm keeping an eye on the Stars, but I'm also doing a lot of work with the NFL draft. But I was curious, it seems like to me there's been some calls by the officials that have been kind of, in this series, kind of questionable. That, you know, with some of these trippings, and is it that way with, is it a league-wide thing right now in the playoffs, or is this something that we've kind of been getting in the Dallas series?
You maybe just, I mean, listen, every series has their questionable calls. I mean, we saw a situation last night in the St. Louis Winnipeg game where it looked like a goal was scored inside of Jordan Binnington's glove, and then they waved it off.
Yeah.
Even if the video evidence kind of indicated that it was a good goal. The interesting thing about the playoffs is that there have been a lot of penalty calls in each series. There has been a lot of power play activity in each series.
Sure.
And the intrigue in that is that the power plays have, in some cases, determined these games.
Right.
At last glance, and it might be a little bit lower now that Tampa Bay went 0-for-5 last night, at last glance, the power plays were converting at a 33% rate, which would be the highest rate maybe ever in the playoffs. And that's after a regular season in which power plays were converting at a rate that we haven't seen since the mid-1980s. So, you know, the more penalty calls that we see, the more important special teams become, because at this point in the NHL, it's power plays that have the upper hand over penalty kills.
It's Greg Wyshynski here with you on The Fan. So if you expected Colorado to get the win in game three, do you expect them to win game four and for this thing to come back tied 2-2?
I kind of do. I mean, you know, for all of the Stars' success in this series, I mean, it has been a couple of overtime victories. And, you know, that's a bounce one way or the other. That's a shot one way or the other. It's not to diminish the effort of the Stars because, I mean, my God, the grittiness and the determination that it takes to play a team like Colorado and force an overtime when you're as shorthanded as Dallas is pretty remarkable. And, you know, the bottom line is that they've found ways to not have McKinnon and McCarr be the difference makers in these close games. And, you know, I got to admit, I'm watching game two and I am counting down the moments. I'm saying to myself, okay, will Dallas score before McKinnon does?
Yeah,
it's kind of how I'm watching. And I'm sure I'm not the only one to have that feeling too. So for them to take care of business and not have these games linger long enough where, you know, arguably the most complete player in the world right now can put the game away, I think is to their credit. So it wouldn't shock me to see the series go back 2-2. It's going to be a real desperate effort, I think, from Colorado in that game. And then if it goes back for game five in Dallas, they've got home ice again, and they might have their best defenseman back in the lineup.
What can we do to keep Colorado's shot total so low? I mean, is this sustainable? You know, because I think that's the best way to contain McKinnon is just to have the puck.
Yeah, have the puck. You know, he's obviously going to get his shots. I mean, he's not a guy that's ever afraid to shoot the puck. But you know, I think that, you know, their identity coming into the series was going to be try to mitigate what Colorado does offensively. And for the most part, they've done a pretty good job. Look, the stakes for this series for Colorado are pretty amazing when you think about it. I mean, you know, they get the emotional lift from Landeskog back. They were probably the most active team this season in remaking their roster, blowing up their goaltending, basically, you know, a couple months into the season, being extremely active at the trade deadline, the whole Mikko Rantanen thing. You know, Colorado's put a lot of elbow grease into making this team. And I think there's a certain inherent pressure when you have that level of investment in your roster to make the most of it when the window is open for you to try to win a championship. So I'm sure there's some flop sweat happening right now in the Colorado front office insofar as we did all these things and we find ourselves down 2-1 to a team that's missing, you know, two of their key players.
You never want the flop sweat, Greg. That is probably the worst of the sweats. What is your so far, what have you thought about Mikko Rantanen in this postseason with the Stars? It's only been three games. He's got 1 point. I think defensively he stepped up in some big moments, but against his former team, obviously this is why the Stars made the move to get him, is his postseason track record.
I would say the meat sweats are worse than the flop.
Okay, yeah, that's a good call.
You've taken down the porterhouse. You don't know how you did it. You ate a steak so big you get a T-shirt for it, and then you just feel terrible afterwards. Mm-hmm. Rantanen to me, like game one, obviously not his best, but he's been getting better as the series goes on. And you know, when you look at the game winning goal in game three, that's him winning a battle against Jonathan Drouin in the defensive zone to then spark the play the other way that eventually ends up with Sagan scoring the game winner. I mean, it was a power move. It was his physicality winning out in that moment. And that's, you know, that's kind of what makes him special. I mean, the numbers are incredible for him in his career. And, you know, in the postseason, he's been an accomplished scorer, but he's such a power forward and he's such a moose of a guy to try to move off the puck that sometimes that physicality and that size can be the difference in trying to start a sequence like we saw in overtime in game three.
How impressive have you been with Thomas Harley in the absence of Miro?
Oh, he's been amazing. I mean, you know, obviously I think he's right now their leading point scorer in a series that hasn't had a ton of scoring quite yet. But, just in the regular season too, if you look at the underlying numbers for the season that he had, whether Miro was healthy or Miro was out, it was fantastic. I mean, he was without question, when you look inside the fancy stats, one of the best defensemen in the league. If memory serves, I think he might have ended up on my Norris ballot for best defenseman in the NHL this year. I don't think he was topping it, but he was definitely maybe in my top five. Just a breakout season and a player that I think Dallas has become extremely comfortable being able to put out in any situation. And certainly has eased the loss of Miro this season and in this series.
Greg Wyshynski with us here in the G-Bag Nation. You brought up the Sagan overtime game winner. When the Stars end up having to kill a 4-minute power play, I think we're all looking at each other like, holy crap, this thing's about to be over. We're down 2-1. Was that, when we look back at this series, if the Stars can pull it off, that was the turning point? That's really what won it for them?
I think each win is going to be incrementally more important. And you could even say that, you know, getting a goal from Colin Blackwell of all people in game two really saved their bacon. Cause if they go back down 2-0 to Colorado and then you have the Landeskog game, we could be talking about an entire different series right now. But, that was a remarkable penalty kill and one where you kind of felt that Colorado getting a fresh sheet of ice in overtime, you know, with the ability of them to whip the puck around, it might have been a quick one. And then when they get that kill, it kind of like puts a damper on the party. The whole thing was just sort of like they were party poopers in game three. I mean, like, you know, Colorado comes home. They've got their home crowd. Landeskog comes back. Everybody's anticipating that they're going to take a lead in the series, you know, after losing game two. And then, you know, things don't work right. They don't convert their chances, and then at the end of the day, Dallas skates away with a victory.
What do you think of the job Coach DeBoer is doing here, coming up with figuring out a way to get the job done? And you know, is it possible that what we're witnessing is this Stars team, even though they lost two key guys, is somehow still better than the Avs with this incredible depth that Jim Nill's assembled?
I don't know. That's a good question. If they're better, I mean, I think they've executed better and they've taken advantage of their opportunities better. It's hard to really oversell the effort of a Dallas team that's won two overtime games because it's the NHL and, like, you know, you hit a divot in the ice and the puck rolls the wrong way and all of a sudden you lose an overtime game. I mean, that's the margin we're talking about in this series. But I'll say this about DeBoer. I mean, he certainly has had a talent for beating Jared Bednar in series. And there's something to be said. You know, you see it in the NFL all the time, to reference the NFL for a second, where, you know, some teams and some coaches, because of their game plan, their scheme, or just their knowledge of another team, just seem to have the other team's number. And that's certainly been the case in this coaching matchup for the last few seasons. So, you know, DeBoer is an interesting guy because there was definitely some people that were fading Dallas this season and fading Dallas in the series that were going to probably make the argument if they lose that, that DeBoer hit his expiration date, as he often does with teams after a few seasons. But I think he's coached a good series. I think he's gotten this team pointed in the right direction. And more importantly, believing that they can still pull this thing off, even if they're missing some key people.
Love it, Greg. You're the man. Thanks for your hockey insights. And I hope you enjoy this Stanley Cup weekend as much as we do.
It should be fun. I'm going to Jersey tonight to see that slow funeral. But, but you know, the rest of it's been pretty fun.
Enjoy. I love it. Take care, Greg. We'll be watching and reading. Greg Wyshynski here, ESPN senior NHL writer with you once again in the G-Bag Nation. He's been fantastic for us all year long. Isn't he fun to talk hockey with?
Oh, yeah.
He's the man.
Easy, yeah.
Okay, speaking of fun, got some Pluckers trucker hats last night, guys.
Noticed that.
Yes.
Looks good.
Yeah, thank you. Salute to the manager up there. He dropped some on me. I should have brought them up there in the truck, though. They got your names all over them. Promise.
Oh, are they next to the cookies your daughter sent?
This is different than cookies. Different than cookies.
Are we sure?
I promise.
This?
He's not going to gatekeep these.
I thought I saw everybody down in security had on a Pluckers hat.
Are we sure? I'll get them for you. And they do have some great merch, of course, in the best wings. Krusty's Corner's coming up next, though, as we turn our attention to night two. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to try and give you an idea who's still going to be on that board for you. We'll do that next.
Oh, yeah. We have been waiting for this. It's Krusty's Corner here on an NFL draft. Football Friday in the Nation, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is to tell you all about it, the king.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. Thank you to Reliant as well. And thanks again to all the folks that were hanging out with us yesterday. Thanks to the folks at Pluckers, too, for being a part of that. Sounds like a lot of fun, you know, with all that you guys do with the general manager stuff and trying, you know, get the drink specials and stuff.
It's a great experience.
Whatever. That's great.
Very communal.
Yep.
Party atmosphere. Hope is in the air right up until you draft a lineman instead of a playmaker. The only regret is we missed out on the $8 Moscow Mules last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that would have set it off.
We did get the $8 Holy Mac.
Ooh,
that was a fan favorite. And it is a chutney, by the way. I asked the guy. He's like, yeah, strawberry chutney.
All right. Strawberry chutney?
Yeah.
Chutney it up, baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like what you're saying.
I was asking
there.
Him if we could get like a house fountain of that, just pouring out.
That's the stuff I was talking about. That's what it is? Yeah. Strawberry chutney.
That's what it's called.
All right. They were looking at me crazy, Broadus. The syrup stuff that people pour on their wings and then they dip it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Right?
The chutney. What are you talking about, sir?
No, we don't do that.
Yeah, we don't do that. Lucius just turns to the bartender. I need a tequila shot right now.
Here. He's like, yes, you do.
Never heard about this chutney.
The chutney's
it's great, bro.
Yeah, it comes with when you order the Holy Mac, you get ranch and the chutney.
Yeah.
And they're both 10 out of 10.
Sweet and delicious.
Yeah, dip the ranch. I mean, you dip it in the chutney, then the ranch, or whichever one you want to do, but you have to have both on there, bro.
You have to have both.
Oh, my God.
It's
all right. Let's talk about your Dallas Cowboys and potentially what needs to be addressed here in the second and third rounds tonight. By the way, the coverage starts at 6 p.m. Central, so feel free to join us for that.
I will.
Wolchek, I'm going to give you four positions, not in any particular order. I'll let you put them in order, what you think. I kind of have wide receiver, running back, defensive tackle, one, technique, and cornerback.
That's your order of need?
I would say I could interchange the two, but on my board, personally, I have my wide receiver there that I really, really like. So I would like for them to grab that guy, but I think Dallas does have a need at wide receiver. I think they do have a need at running back. You could change those two if you like. I think Dallas will take a running back at 44. And one technique and a cornerback as well. Any disagreements there?
No, it's definitely running back, wide receiver, corner, and D tackle. I mean, two of those four I'm sure will be addressed tonight. And I am leaning probably runner at 44 as well. I think Henderson probably goes off the board early. They visited with him and Judkins. I think they like Judkins a lot. I think Judkins could be the pick at 44, but they also visited with Tootin. So like maybe like those corners, that's what fascinates me. You got three corners that we both like a lot that could have been first round type of players.
Right. But the medical stuff. And I'm going to throw Johnson in there too. Will Johnson of the possibilities, but you're dealing with some medical stuff there with him. So that means that.
But I think Wolchuk just said he thinks Quinshon Judkins is going to be the pick tonight. Brian, do you agree with that?
Oh, I think if Henderson's not on the board, I think that would be a big possibility.
Makes sense with the power stuff that they're building with the offensive line and Judkins is a power back.
I'm going to walk you through a minefield, though.
Let's go.
I'm going to walk you through a minefield to get to this running back. Oof. I'm going to walk you through the minefield of Cleveland twice at 33 and 36. That's one of their needs that they were talking about when we were getting down to those things. I'm going to walk you through the minefield of Chicago at 39 for that running back. And really, to be honest with you, with Chicago. It's actually 39 and 41. So you're going to have to walk through Cleveland twice, Chicago twice, to be able to maybe get a shot at drafting Henderson.
But there's three running backs? That sounds good to me. There's two teams that could take a running back. Yes, they have two picks each, but they're not going to take two backs.
The running back, I like Johnson from Iowa.
Yeah, I like Caleb Johnson the most.
You like, and I'm the same way.
I just don't know.
I don't know if they do.
Is that still a fit with the way that it seems like this is going power? This is gap scheme.
Johnson's this guy. Yeah, okay. Johnson's a better fit for what drafting. If you take athletic pin and pull lineman guys, and that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Probably not the best with this, but with the power they're now playing with inside. No, Johnson can help you.
Okay,
Johnson can absolutely.
He's super smooth. I mean, I've got him ranked. I think we actually do probably the same, Brian. I've got Caleb Johnson, Travion Henderson, then Judkins.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't know. Just listening to Bobby, he just kind of soured me. Like they might not like Caleb Johnson.
Oh, that's okay. We just got to throw him out there, though.
Sure, absolutely.
But for the Cowboys, I think it would be. I think Henderson would be the number one priority for them when it comes to the running back. Am I right about that, you think?
I think yes. I think he's the explosiveness that he's able to bring to the table. But there might be something with Quinshon Judkins when you talk about him being able to smash it in between the tackles, the receiving ability. They might like what Judkins brings to the table. I think Henderson can also do that, and then he's got the home run hitting. I think Henderson's going to be gone, so that's why I'm saying Judkins at 44. But I'm with you. Overall, I would put Henderson above Judkins.
Do you think he's going to – okay, so you think we're going to lose him at 33, or do you think we're going to lose him at 36?
I think we're going to lose him at 39 to the Bears.
Okay. So 39 for the Bears, take Henderson out. Well, tell me about what you think about Judkins then.
Yeah, I like Judkins a lot. I mean, Judkins at 44 would not bother me. They've gotten wiped out when it comes to running back the last couple of years. I would be fine in the third round taking Bashal Tutin.
Yeah.
The running back from Virginia
Tech.
There's
some questions. Maybe he's more of a second round guy, right?
Yeah, and he could. And that's why maybe you just pull the trigger at 44 and you take Judkins because you don't want to risk Tutin being gone there. I mean, I love RJ Harvey. I don't know how they feel.
So I don't think they're a big fan of him.
Right. So they visit, like I'm going on the three guys they visited with.
That's absolutely.
Tutin, Judkins, and Henderson.
Tutin, I think, is better of the two for them.
Between Judkins and Henderson?
Between Judkins and Harvey.
I'm with you. But yeah, I mean, Judkins is a guy transferred from Ole Miss, and he was a super good back there. He's physical, though. He's a physical downhill runner, explosive first step to get to and through the hole. He runs behind his pads, good receiver, works himself open in scramble drills. He's elusive in the open field. He adds third down value, willing blocker. I mean, he would lead block for Will Howard to get into the end zone at times. I mean, Judkins, he shows patience to allow linemen to get into blocks. We've talked about that. Maybe Tyler Brooker needs that. Judkins would be a good fit.
I think he would be a good fit, too. I've got Luther Burden on the board still as a first-round grade. Now, the question is, I can't find anybody. The only thing that somebody tells me is about that maybe he goes to the beat of his own drummer, that kind of a guy. But nothing when you start to talk about Mike Green, the edge from Marshall, there's domestic violence stuff.
The Mike Green stuff, the character is going to dock him. I've got him as the fifth best player in the draft. I don't know where the hell he's going to go. And there might be some teams that just took him off the board.
Completely.
So Burden's your biggest hope at 44, Broadus, Burden, right?
The wide receiver. That is my 10th overall player still on the board.
Wow.
So if it was me, this is being selfish again. You always want him to take your guys. I think they would actually take the runner before they would take the wide receiver.
I think they would too. And
if it was Burden, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Because, I mean, look, Burden kind of goes against at least just some of the stuff that we've heard, what Brian Schottenheimer's preaching.
Yeah.
Do you love football? The character? Are you showing up and practicing hard? Those are some of the question marks with Luther Burden. I don't know if he's a guy. That might be the trump card while you go with the Judkins. Those corners, though, my gosh. I mean, I've got Revell as the top player left.
Yeah.
Benjamin Morrison from Notre Dame is awesome. And then Will Johnson from Michigan. Those would be interesting names to just kind of consider. And I'd also advocate for Donovan Isiraku, the edge from Boston College. I'm a big fan of his as well.
So you're saying even over Mike Green because you just don't think Mike
Green? Yeah, I don't think they're taking Mike Green. Mike Green would be my pick. If I'm taking, like, based on my stack, he's the best player. I'm going Mike Green. But they don't care what I think. And so if you're going to go edge, I'd go Isiraku from Boston College.
If there's a point, though, domestic violence, not advocating for it or anything like that.
That's good.
But is there a point though that
it's bold
that you would take this guy at? Would you if that good of a player at 44?
I thought it would be this round, right? I mean, they've kind of done that in their history.
Yeah, I mean, this will be the round that some team makes that choice. Will it be the Cowboys is the question, I guess. But Mike Green is not slipping to the third round because of
302.
All this.
So he'll be a Kansas City Chief, and that'd be. Gosh.
Wow. Chiefs get Green and Simmons. That would be awful.
Do we have a narrative that he's super sorry and it's not going to happen again? You know?
I mean, I have never had a chance.
Somebody's going to give him a second chance.
That's what I'm saying, though. I wonder when does the player become so good? Because we used to have in the fourth round. The fourth round was always us, the criminal round, what we called it back in the day. The criminal and then the injured guy round.
For sure, by the fourth. I might be thinking third or second if you're good enough.
But that's what I'm saying. Mike Green, when you watch his tape, he is one of the best edge rushers in this draft. I mean, we were talking about, we'll take Mykel Williams. I'm like, give me Mike Green.
Atlanta traded a first for next year to go get James Pierce Jr. Mike Green's better.
Mike Green's a better player. Absolutely, he's a better player.
Do you think they're thinking tonight it's still best player available or best running back available?
I think they're looking at the four positions that we've talked about. I would handicap them as the running back, the wide receiver, the one technique, and the corner. I think there's plenty of corner. I think they probably feel like there's plenty of corners there. I'm not sure they feel that way about the other positions. So I would think that to me that it would be running back first, and then if their running back is gone, then maybe that we start to think maybe they'll go for this wide receiver, depending on, like I say, if Luther Burden is still there from Missouri. But there's some teams that could absolutely, you know, Cleveland with a wide receiver, Tennessee with a wide receiver. I mean, this is pre-draft stuff that we're talking about. Vegas, you know, there's probably more teams that need wide receivers than they do running backs here.
So. Yeah, and I would look at it like we are basically having nothing. We have nothing at running back, and we have nothing at wide receiver, too. You know, we can get by with our corners. We can get by with our defensive tackle room. Okay, mm-hmm. Maybe we can throw an NFL league minimum vet at it in the summer or something like that. But I think running back and wide receiver is how I'd prefer round two and three in any order tonight.
All right, so we'll go Quinshon Judkins at 44, and let's go Isaiah Higgins, the wide receiver from Iowa State in the third.
I think that would be a really good possibility right there.
What if it went the other way? What if Burden is there at 44? Am I totally snake-eyed at running back?
No. Tootin, can he make it to 76?
Yeah, that would be the one. You'd have to stretch that thing. Me, personally, I'd love to see Burden be there. And I think the Cowboys do like him. I just don't think they were comfortable taking him at 12. I think maybe they might be comfortable taking him at 44. If it's him or Henderson, I have a feeling it would take Henderson.
You do?
I do.
I'll fight you on that. I think they do Judkins.
You think they go?
Yeah,
go,
okay. I would take Henderson. I think they would go Judkins.
Okay, dude, Judkins or Burden then?
Judkins.
Okay. That's it.
Thank you, Brian.
It's going to be fun.
Look at that. A Friday draft edition of Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning is in the books. Tyler Booker's press conference is scheduled for next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Cowboys, 105 through the Fan.